Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Leap of Faith podcast. I'm Lorraine. I'm your host. And today is Tuesday, April 2nd. I didn't even think to address that yesterday was April Fool's Day yesterday. I could have played a prank on Jeremiah, but I didn't. I didn't think of it. Getting to be an old fart, I guess. Not up on my game there. Anyway, thank you for joining me today. Glad you're here. As always, we are reading the Bible one chapter a day, 5 days a week, and today's one of the days I do it by myself. So I'm not going to dilly-dally, going to get right into it, but I'm going to say this before I pray. I'm going to share with you an email that I got from one of our longtime listeners, Teresa. Apparently back in March, March 12th, I had prayed for her over in our podcast, and because you know, when God puts somebody on my heart, I try to be as obedient as I can, and she was on my heart that day. So anyway, flash forward to yesterday. I just was checking my emails, and there was a response from her, and she said, "Lorraine, I'm behind, but I'm playing catch up. I heard your prayer over me on March 12th. Today is April 1st, and this is not a fool's joke. I stopped journaling. I lost hope. I was hurting. I literally cried to God to surrender and let go, because the harder I tried to control and grip onto my own power, the harder it got. That day, I felt covered in prayer. I wasn't sure by whom or how. Thank you for saying yes to God. As you said in the same recording, there are no coincidences." And there aren't any coincidences. "There are forces in war ongoing. As I keep reaching up, the enemy is working overtime. I know God will bring me up and out as he leads me, and it's because of faith and prayer. Thank you, my friend. We haven't met in person, but one day. And this is okay to share my testimony. With love and gratitude, Teresa." So, Teresa, thanks for, again, you know, keeping up a dialogue with me and keeping me posted on what's going on. We don't know all the details of what people are going through, and especially in a podcast where I'm just, you know, praying over people. You know, if somebody leaves a message on the Facebook page, we try to address it. We pray over them for sure, but we try to respond, but, you know, she's actively reached out via email to us, and we've told everybody how you can do that. You know, our prayers are not magic. I'm not anything. I'm not a prophet. I am definitely not. I don't have any better connection to God than anybody else does. I read his Bible every day, sometimes twice a day, because I have another Bible study that I do, but I'm actively trying to learn all I can and absorb as much as I can. And I think that's what God wants us to do. That's why he gave us this book to read. And he also wants us to give him our petitions and prayers and leave them at the altar and allow him to do what he's going to do. Yeah, sometimes the answer is no, and sometimes the answer is not what we're expecting, or it comes in a different shape or form. It all depends. So, you know, like I said, I don't have a magic answer for any of this. I just, you know, when God is putting something on my heart, I just pray for it. And, you know, there have been many times that I've gotten positive results, and there are other times where there are results that I wasn't expecting. You know, I prayed feverishly that I did not want to come out here to California. I was praying to God that my husband would be stationed in San Antonio. And for whatever reason, God put us out here. And, you know, I've met wonderful people. There are reasons why God puts us in the place that we're supposed to be. And I see that. I see that who I've met, who my kids have met, the friendships that we've you know, nurtured, all of these things. So God put us here for a reason. And so hopefully I'm walking through the doors that he's opening. And I pray these same things for my children, their girlfriends, you know. Anyway, off on a tangent. My point is this. If you're struggling, you know, lift it up to the Lord. You may get the answer you're looking for. You know, as long as it's in God's will, He will do it. If it's going to further the kingdom, it's going to work out. But if it's not for, you know, the kingdom, then it's not going to work out. And we all know that in the end, we know who wins. We know the end of the story. We've got revelation. We know what Jesus is going to do, and we know He's coming back. So that is, you know, what we look forward to. So thank you to Teresa for sharing a little bit of what's going on with you. And, you know, as I said in my response to you, you know, God is going to do what God's going to do, and He's going to get you through this, because God is bigger than any problem, anything that the enemy can sling at us. And the enemy is actively, like you said, working overtime. And the reason why is because you're doing something right. Somebody told me that a long time ago. If you're under attack, it's because you're doing something right and He doesn't like it. And He's trying to tear you apart. He will work His way. He will try to tear up your families. He will try to tear up any kind of friendships you have in the name of Jesus. And put it all in God's hands. He will take care of it. You know, there's another saying that says, God won't give you anything more than you can handle. But somebody else changed it and said, God won't give you anything more than what He can handle. And that's true, because He can handle everything. So, you know, put your faith in the power of Jesus and the power of God. She also asked me to pray over a friend of hers. I can't mention their name because they haven't given me permission to do that. So I don't want any conflict here. But anyway, we are praying, Teresa, for your friend. And I always pray in God's will. So whatever God's will is for this, you know, maybe this is a struggle that he has to climb through or up or over or whatever. But I don't know. Or maybe he's just going to heal him miraculously. And that's what we're hoping for. We hope for, you know, a miraculous healing, of course. So anyway, with that said, I am going to pray, and I'll pray over Teresa and her friend. And then I'll give you your verse of the day. So let's pray. Holy and mighty God, we come to you in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. We thank you. We thank you for his sacrifice on the cross and the blood that he shed for all of our sins, Lord. We don't deserve it. We didn't earn it, but you gave him as a gift and a sacrifice for us. So thank you so much. We just celebrated that day 2 days ago, and I'm still riding that high. Just that, you know, just wonderful gift that you gave to us. So, Lord, thank you. Lord, I'm grateful for those in my life. I'm grateful for my family and all of the friends that I've made here. I'm so thankful that you have given me this wonderful life that I get to live, and I pray that I am living up to your expectations. I pray for those who are out there listening, all of those folks. I don't know who's out there listening. I just hope that there's a bunch. And, you know, getting to know you and getting to know who you are, Lord, we want to love you more. We want to know you more. We want to just be so in love with you. And, Lord, just guide and direct each one of us as we go through our days, our weeks, our months, our years. Just help us to stay on track. Help us to stay focused on what your will is for us. And we want to be doing whatever it is that you want us to be doing. We want to lift you up. We want to glorify you. And we want our lives to be a resume for you. And we want people to see you through us. And we want to live our lives for you and for Jesus. So, Lord, thank you. Watch over us, guide us, protect us, and order our steps. Lord, I am especially lifting up Teresa and whatever it is that she's going through. I just pray for the strength she needs to get through it, to get past it, and to move on and to start rebuilding and heal, whatever that is. I don't know what it is, but whatever, Lord, you're doing in her, I pray that you will continue. Protect her. Protect her from the enemy. Protect all of us from the enemy, Lord. Send your angels around us and guard us against any evildoers, Lord. We lift up her friend to you, Lord. We're praying for a miraculous healing over their body, Lord. We don't know what, you know, what this the situation is. We know there was testing being done, but Lord, I am praying for whatever that is to just go away miraculously, be healed. Lord, we invite you into this time in your word. We thank you for your word. We find it a blessing, and we want to get to know you more and more and more every single day. Lord, take us where you want us to go. Let us meet the people you want us to meet. Let us say the words you want us to say, and keep us out of your way. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. Sorry, I got a little bit wordy there. You know, I just, when God gets hold of you, you just want to, you know, lift him up and give him all the glory. So, all right. So today's Bible verse is from 2 Corinthians. It is chapter 4, verses 8 and 9. We are pressed on every side by troubles, but we are not crushed. We are perplexed, but not driven to despair. We are hunted down, but never abandoned by God. We get knocked down, but we are not destroyed. You know, this is what the struggles are, I think. I think that's what this is talking about. And, you know, this kind of going out there to Teresa and her friend and anybody else who's going through a little bit of struggles right now. Whatever it is, whatever the enemy is slinging at you, you know what? Sling it right back at him. Because, you know what? In Jesus' name, you can overcome anything. I was, when I read this, we get knocked down, but we don't. But we are not destroyed. It reminds me of that Chumbawamba song. We get knocked down, but I get up again. That's what that reminded me of. You know what? He might knock us down, but you get right back up, and you keep moving. And you know, I know it's not easy, and some people's struggles are harder than others. You know, maybe you're facing addiction, maybe you're facing depression, maybe you're facing a life-threatening illness. Whatever, maybe there's financial problems going on. I don't know what that is. Maybe you're homeless and you just happen to be listening to this on, who knows where you got, God put this into your, you know, in your way. But I'm just glad that you're here to listen to this, because there is hope and there is encouragement. And I've been in horrible, desperate times. I've been knocked down. I've been there. And I'm not saying I'm not going to ever not be knocked down again, because I'm sure I will. But you know what? You put your trust in Jesus, and you know that he is going to protect you and take care of you. And you're going to come out on the other side. So don't lose hope. Don't lose hope. Just keep your eyes fixed on Jesus, and you're going to come through it. I'm not saying it's going to be, you know, it might be quick. But it might not be quick. You know, I've got people I've been praying for years, you know, hoping and praying they're going to come to know Jesus. And, you know, because I'd love to see them in heaven one day. People who are close to me. I just heard, I don't know if I said this yesterday or not, but I thought this was kind of cool. And I'll say it again, just in case you missed yesterday. But we were watching a guy get baptized at church, and he said that I don't know if somebody said this to him or maybe it was God telling it to him, but he said, Jesus isn't coming back because he's waiting for you. So he's waiting for those who are going to get back in the fold. And I hope it's everybody. I hope everybody gets there. You know, I mean, it's not going to be everybody, but I really hope and wish that it would be. Okay, that's it for that. So let's go ahead and move on to our reading. We are episode 117.3. I don't want to dilly-dally. I'm already almost 15 minutes into this. Episode 117. I'm sorry, 117.2. And this is chapter 14. in 1 Kings. Ahijah's prophecy, I don't know if I'm saying that right, prophecy against Jeroboam. At that time, Jeroboam's son Abijah became very sick. So Jeroboam told his wife, "Disguise yourself so that no one will recognize you as my wife. Then go to the prophet Ahijah at Shiloh, the man who told me I would become king. Take him a gift of 10 loaves of bread, some cakes, and a jar of honey, and ask him what will happen to the boy." So Jeroboam's wife went to Ahijah's home at Shiloh. He was an old man now and could no longer see. But the Lord had told Ahijah, "Jeroboam's wife will come here pretending to be someone else. She will ask you about her son, for he is very sick. Give her the answer I give you." So when Ahijah heard her footsteps at the door, he called out, "Come in, wife of Jeroboam. Why are you pretending to be someone else?" Then he told her, "I have bad news for you. Give your husband Jeroboam this message from the Lord, the God of Israel. I promoted you from the ranks of the common people and made you ruler over my people, Israel. I ripped the kingdom away from the family of David and gave it to you. But you have not been like my servant David, who obeyed my commands and followed me with all his heart and always did whatever I wanted. You have done more evil than all who lived before you. You have made other gods for yourself and have made me furious with golden calves. And since you have turned your back on me, I will bring disaster on your dynasty and will destroy every one of your male descendants, slaves and free alike, anywhere in Israel. I will burn up your royal dynasty as one burns up trash until it's all gone. The members of Jeroboam's family who die in the city will be eaten by dogs, and those who die in the field will be eaten by vultures. I, the Lord, have spoken." Then Ahijah said to Jeroboam's wife, "Go on home, and when you enter the city, the child will die. All Israel will mourn for him and bury him. He is the only member of your family who will have a proper burial, for this child is the only good thing that the Lord, the God of Israel, sees in the entire family of Jeroboam. In addition, the Lord will raise up a king over Israel who will destroy the family of Jeroboam. This will happen today, even now. Then the Lord will shake Israel like a reed whipped about in a stream. He will uproot the people of Israel from the good land that he gave their ancestors and will scatter them beyond the Euphrates River. For they have angered the Lord with the Asherah poles they have set up for worship. He will abandon Israel because Jeroboam sinned and made Israel sin along with him." So Jeroboam's wife returned to Tirzah, and the child died just as she walked through the door of her home. And all Israel buried him and mourned for him, as the Lord had promised through the prophet Ahijah. The rest of the events in Jeroboam's reign, including all the wars and how he ruled, are recorded in the book of the history of the kings of Israel. Jeroboam reigned in Israel 22 years. When Jeroboam died, his son Nadab became the king, the next king. Rehoboam rules in Judah. Meanwhile, Rehoboam, son of Solomon, was king in Judah, for he was 41 years old when he became king, and he reigned 17 years in Jerusalem, the city the Lord had chosen from among all the tribes of Israel as the place to honor his name. Rehoboam's mother was Naamah, an Ammonite woman. During Rehoboam's reign, the people of Judah did what was evil in the Lord's sight, provoking his anger with their sin, for it was even worse than that of their ancestors. For they also built for themselves pagan shrines and set up sacred pillars and Asherah poles on every hill and under every green tree. There were even male and female shrine prostitutes throughout the land. The people imitated the detestable practices of the pagan nations The Lord had driven from the land ahead of the Israelites. In the fifth year of King Rehoboam's reign, King Shishak of Egypt came up and attacked Jerusalem. He ransacked the treasuries of the Lord's temple and the royal palace. He stole everything, including all the gold shields Solomon had made. King Rehoboam later replaced them with bronze shields as substitutes, and he entrusted them to the care of the commanders of the guard who protected the entrance to the royal palace. Whenever the king went to the temple of the Lord, the guards would also take the shields and then return them to the guard room. The rest of the events in Rehoboam's reign and everything he did are recorded in the book of the history of the kings of Judah. There was constant war between Rehoboam and Jeroboam. When Rehoboam died, he was buried among his ancestors in the city of David. His mother was Naamah, an Ammonite woman. Then his son Abijam became the next king. Okay, that's interesting. So, is that the same name of the other mom? Hang on, give me a second here. Oh, no, they just... Okay, sorry, my bad. It said it in the first... Okay, Rehoboam's mother was Naamah, an Amorite woman. So that's kind of... I guess that must be something sort of important because God mentioned it twice. So Abijam is becoming the king of Judah, and Nadab becomes the next king of Israel. All right, so we have to remember that. It's hard to keep track of all these kings. I'm sorry. I know this is a lot, but try to keep up. There is a... I'll try to find it, but there's a women's study on, like a women's Bible study group that I was part of, and they did a study on, I think, 1st and 2nd Kings, and it was very interesting. Again, hard to keep up. You know, my brain doesn't always absorb everything. I'm sorry. So, let's go back a little bit here, and just kind of quickly some of the highlights that I did. I highlighted the name of the prophet Ahijah at Shiloh, which is in the second verse. So Jeroboam tells his wife to go disguised to go see Ahijah, but the Lord told him that she was going to show up disguised. And so, and he says, give her the answer I give you. So when he hears her footsteps, he says, come on in, wife of Jeroboam. Why are you pretending to be somebody else? I thought that was kind of funny. And he says, give him this message. And, you know, he tells him, you know, look, I brought you up from the ranks, and I made you ruler over my people, and I ripped the kingdom away from the family of David and gave it to you. But you have not been a servant like David. And, you know, who obeyed all my commands and followed me. You've done evil more than all who lived before you. That's pretty bad. And you have made other gods for yourself and have made me furious with your gold calves. Okay, if it's me, I personally would never want to make God furious. I'm just saying. So he's bringing disaster on his dynasty. Every one of his male descendants are going to be destroyed. The members of Jeroboam's family who die in the city will be eaten by dogs, and those in the field are going to be eaten by vultures. You know, this is no good. The only one who's going to be mourned and buried with a proper burial is his young son who's going to die. And for this child is the only good thing that the Lord, the God of Israel, sees in the entire family of Jeroboam. No good. So, and then in addition to that, the Lord's going to raise up a king over Israel who will destroy the family of Jeroboam. This will happen today, even now. So I wonder if that's going to be Abijam. I don't know. We'll find out. So Jeroboam... Jeroboam is his wife returns to Tirzah, child dies, as she's walking through the door, and they bury him and they all mourn to him just as the Lord had promised. And then the rest of this is written in the book of the history of the kings of Israel. So I don't know where this book of the history of kings of Israel is. You know, and then it's mentioned that there's the book of the history of the kings of Judah. I wonder if these are Jewish books in the Bible, maybe. I don't know. We'd have to do a little research on that. And then when Jeroboam dies, his son Nadab became the king, the next king. Oh, that's interesting. Nadab is the name of, that's so weird. Okay, I know somebody with that name. That's such an odd name to name somebody. Interesting. Anyway, it just dawned on me. Okay, so Rehoboam rules in Judah. Meanwhile, Rehoboam, son of Solomon, is the king of Judah, and he's reigned in Jerusalem for 17 years, Jerusalem is the city the Lord chose from among all the tribes of Israel as the place to honor his name. And it says it twice, Rehoboam's mother is Naamah, an Ammonite woman. During Rehoboam's reign, the people of Judah did what was evil in the Lord's sight, provoking his anger with their sin. For it was even worse than that of their ancestors. I mean, how is that possible? Then the people imitated the detestable practices of the pagan nations the Lord had driven from the land ahead of the Israelites. King Shish, in the fifth year of King Rehoboam's reign, King Shishak of Egypt came up and attacked Jerusalem. He ransacked the treasures of the Lord's temple and the royal palace. He stole everything, including the gold shields Solomon had made. And then the rest of the events in Rehoboam's reign is written in the book of the history of the kings of Judah. There was constant war between Rehoboam and Jeroboam. When Rehoboam died, he was buried among his ancestors in the city of David. His mother, again, was Naamah and an Ammonite mother, woman. But then his son, Abijam, becomes the king, the next king. So, this is sort of more history that we're going to be reading through. So don't, you know, lose sight of what this is. It's all about the history of the kings of Israel. The kings that, you know, the Israelites wanted a king, and that's what God's given them. So they got two. One for Israel, one for Judah. So that's it for today. It's always good to me. I love reading this history. I just hope that I can continue to keep reading it and get more into my head and retain it. So I am going to, as always, give anybody and everybody who is out there listening the opportunity to receive Christ as their Lord and Savior. If you have not done this yet, this is your moment. Like I said earlier, there are no coincidences that you found this particular podcast. So I'm going to say the prayer out loud. I hope you say it with me. It's not about me, it's about you and what God is calling you to do. So if you're obedient, which is not what these people have been doing, be obedient. Do what God's telling you to do. Listen, because Jesus is not coming until you get on board. He's waiting for you. I love that. I love that line. All right, so I'm going to go ahead and pray, and I hope you pray with me. Heavenly Father, today I put my trust in you. I am not perfect and know that I have sinned against you. Please forgive me. I thank you for the sacrifice of your Son, Jesus Christ, on the cross. It's his perfect and spotless blood that covers all of my sins, past, present, and future. On this day, accept him as my Lord and Savior into my heart and will live my life for him. Thank you for my salvation. In Jesus' name, amen. If you said that prayer for the first time, congratulations and welcome into the family of Jesus Christ. You are now adopted in. You're a brother or sister in Christ. Today is a day of celebration. Mark it in your Bible that today is the day that you received Christ. Notate it on a calendar, in your phone, whatever, but make sure you celebrate because it is a day of celebration. Tell the people who've been praying for you that you got saved. They would love to hear it. If you did get saved, we'd love to hear it. You can reach either Jeremiah and I, Lorraine@leapoffaithpodcast.org or Jeremiah@leapoffaithpodcast.org. You can message us on Facebook or Instagram. We would love to hear from you that you got saved and you received Christ. So we also strongly recommend that you get to a church or a pastor, ask the questions, get involved, use the talents and gifts that God gave you. Pray about it. There's ministry. There is Bible studies, mission work, volunteer work, so many different ways that you can get involved with your church. So get involved. Very important to keep working to the kingdom. So that's it for today. So glad you're able to be here. I went a little bit over than I normally do, but I'm just glad that I was able to pray and read. And I'm just glad that you're here listening, watching, whatever it is that you're doing. So that's it for today. God bless you. Have a great day. And I will see you tomorrow. Take care.